The study this month is what happens when the hurt and the healer collide. What happens when the hurt and the healer collide? And remember this, we all know this, that we are fallible, imperfect human beings, and situations in life happen to hurt us. You know, when we're made up of three parts, we're made up of body, spirit, and soul. People get hurt in their bodies with sickness. Maybe you were diagnosed with diabetes or cancer or high blood pressure. So sickness hurts a person's body. Maybe you were hurt in an accident. You broke a limb or you hurt your back. And people get hurt in their spirits without Jesus Christ. Without faith in Christ, without relationship with Jesus Christ, people are separated from God and they're dead in their spirits. And then people also get hurt in the soulish realm. The soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions. And tonight, specifically, we're going to talk about the emotional part of the soul. Getting hurt in your emotions. All right, tonight we're going to read from Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. If you've got a Bible, you can go with me. If not, I'll read it to you. And by the way, at the end, we do have Bibles for you, large print NIVs. It's our gift to you. Psalm chapter 42. The psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all along, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls the deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Tonight's focus is on verses 5, 9, and 11. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Then he says later on in verse 5, "My soul is downcast within me." And then in verse 11, he repeats, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" So this psalmist, the person who wrote this psalm was what? He was downcast in his soul, in his emotions. He was going through depression for reasons that we don't know specifically. It says in verse 9, "Why must they go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" So obviously the psalmist here had an enemy that was pursuing him, that was bringing him down in his emotions, that was depressing him. Would you agree here tonight? He repeats that same theme. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And maybe tonight, friend, like the psalmist, you are hurting, maybe tonight, in your emotions. And maybe your depression tonight in your emotions is due to the loss of something dear to you, a job, finances, a loved one, rejection of somebody that you love. Maybe there's somebody that you really cared for, and every time you try to pursue relationship with that person, they reject you. They want nothing to do with you. And maybe you've hurt them repeatedly in the past, and maybe that's why they're rejecting you. But you're depressed deep down on the inside because this person maybe is rejecting you. Somebody that you love, somebody that you care for. And maybe tonight you're focused on the grief of the loss, wallowing in depression in your emotions. But there's good news here tonight. What's that good news, friend? What's the good news? Even though that you may be suffering with depression in your emotions tonight, like the psalmist in Psalm 42, is that we serve a healer, God, creator of heaven and earth. And when your hurt, your emotional hurt, and the healer collide, miracles happen. That's good news. Amen? God wants to turn your sorrow and depression tonight into joy. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a God who never changes. You see, Jesus is the exact representation of God. And it says in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus who turned sorrow into joy in the Gospels is the same Jesus, the same God who wants to do it for you tonight. Amen? Amen. So when you cross paths with the healer, guess what? Your depression is going to be turned into joy. Now let me ask you this here tonight. How is the hurt of depression healed? How is the hurt of depression in your emotions healed? Anybody have any ideas? Anybody have any ideas? How is that depression in your emotions healed? All right, let's turn to Job. How many know about Job of the Old Testament? Job of the Old Testament. He was upright, he feared God, shunned evil, he was a great man. And if you read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, I'm not going to go through the details and read it, but Job was a wealthy man. He had sons and daughters. And so Satan made a bet with God that if God took everything from Job, that Job would turn his back on God. And guess what? God said, okay, you can test Job. So everything was taken from Job, his livestock and his children. And in Job chapter 2, he put sores on Job's body from head to toe. He couldn't take Job's life, but he put sores on his body. Everything was taken from Job, his material possessions, his children, his body was full of sores. And this man was in misery. This man was in agony. Job was in great depression. You can read in Job chapter 3 that Job curses the day of his birth. And maybe tonight you feel like Job. Maybe you feel like everything was taken from you. Maybe you're wallowing in the cave of depression tonight. And the sad thing is in Job chapter 2, his wife tells him this, curse God and die, Job 2:9. But the good news is Job says what in Job 13:15? He says that this, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in God. So in the midst of his depression, in the midst of the downcastness of his soul, Job was trusting in the Almighty God. Now let me read you something about Leo Tolstoy. All right, and it says this. The Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy found his life going stale when he was 50 years old. For the next 2 years, he could think of little else but taking his own life. He hit every rope for fear he would hang himself, and he even stopped hunting for fear he would turn the gun on himself. Then he discovered that his despondency lifted when he thought about God. There was an upsurge of hope, a feeling of stability. Why look further, he asked himself. I'll see God and really live. And he did. That's awesome, isn't it? He found his hope in the Almighty God. And friend, maybe you're down in your emotions tonight. And a good illustration of trust in God comes from the Gospels in Mark chapter 4. Now, Jesus and his disciples, how many remember the account? Were on a boat. Jesus and his disciples were on a boat, right? They were sailing along. And what occurred in the midst of their sailing? What occurred in the midst of their sailing along the Sea of Galilee? A storm arose. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, in the back, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. All right, so there's a storm on the waters, okay? And there's two reactions during the storm. What were those reactions? The reaction of the disciples and the reaction of Jesus. The disciples, when faced with the storm on the sea, were gripped with what? They were gripped with fear. They said, teacher, don't you care about us if we drown? And what was Jesus doing in the midst of the storm? in the back of the boat, right? On a cushion. Jesus was sleeping in peace in the middle of the storm. Now let me ask you this here tonight. Why is it that Jesus, in the middle of the storm, was able to sleep in peace? Why, in the middle of this storm, was Jesus able to sleep on this boat in peace? Because he had what? He had full what? He had full trust in Almighty God. He had full trust in God. He knew that God had his back. He knew that God had the backs of the disciples. He knew that he and the disciples were in the palm of God's hand. He knew that God was not going to let that boat tip. He knew that God was not going to let them drown. He had full trust and childlike faith in the Almighty God. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that the solution to your depression, the cure to your depression tonight regarding a loss in your life, regarding grief in your life, is what? It's trust in the Almighty God like Jesus had in Mark chapter 4. Your life is like a boat. Remember this. Remember this. Keep trusting God. Even though it looks dark in your life right now, God is not going to let you tip. God is not going to let you drown. God is in full control of this situation in your life. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. God is in full control of this situation in my life. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is sovereign. God is infinitely more intelligent than us. He sees to the very end of our lives. You're looking at the loss right now. You're looking at the grief right now. You're looking at the loss of that job, the loss of finances, that person who's rejected you, and you're wondering why, and you're wallowing in depression. Well, you know what? God knows why. God could see to the very end. Don't try to figure it out. God has got it under control. If you still had that thing in your life, who knows? You might be lost for eternity. Only God knows. Keep on trusting the infinite intelligence and wisdom of God. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
Say it with me. I will keep trusting God in the midst of this storm, this depression in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Another cure to depression, to a hurting emotion, is what? First one is trust in God, right? This other one is hand in hand with it. It's obedience to the Almighty God. Obedience to God. And we go to the Old Testament, Jonah. How many know about the prophet Jonah? The prophet Jonah. God said to Jonah, what did he say? He said, Jonah, I want you to go to where? To Nineveh and preach repentance to that nation. So what does Jonah do? Jonah goes the opposite direction towards Tarshish. What did Jonah do? If God is saying go to Nineveh and Jonah went to Tarshish, what did Jonah do? He disobeyed. And guess what? As a result of his disobedience, there was a storm on the ocean. And the sailors cast lots to see who was at fault. And the lots fell on Jonah. So they threw him overboard and God had a great fish. Some say it's a whale prepared to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. And you could imagine that he was probably really depressed in the belly of the whale. Would you agree?
Amen.
It was hot. He was probably perspiring. It smelled. He probably thought he was going to die physically in the belly of the whale. But then it says in Jonah 2:9, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, he's telling God, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And guess what? In Jonah chapter 3, God gives Jonah a second chance. Is that good news? He gives him a second chance again to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. He preaches repentance in Nineveh and the entire nation changes their mind and they turn back to God. So, could it be that maybe your depression tonight is a result of disobedience to God?
Amen.
Is it possible that God has told you to do something in His Word or in your prayer times and you haven't done it? Maybe it's a broken relationship that's causing you a lot of stress. And maybe God told you, contact that person, write to them, give them a phone call, meet with them face to face, send them a card, and you haven't done it. And so you remain in this brokenness, this broken relationship. You're depressed. You're despondent in your emotions. Is it possible when you were let go of that job, maybe God said, you know what, give it another shot. Try recontacting your employer. Try to make amends with him. Tell him you'll do better next time. You'll go the extra mile. And is it possible because you didn't do it, you're still in the state of loss and depressed in your emotions? You see, a lot of times disobedience to what God is telling us to do can cause depression in our emotions. So what's the cure to that depression as a result of disobedience? Simple. What's the cure? It's obedience to doing what God is telling you to do. In other words, if God, it's so simple. God is telling you to do something, don't ask any questions. Have childlike faith and do what He's telling you to do. Is that good news?
Amen.
You see, obedience to God is evidence of your trust and faith in God. Because we don't obey someone we don't believe exists. We don't obey someone or something we don't believe in. Does that make sense? So if you really believe in God, if you've got trust and relationship in God, you are going to obey Him. So it all comes down to trust in God, obedience to the Almighty God. And the final cure to your depression is what?
Obey.
It's a big one. Because when people are depressed, they're focused on what? They're focused on me, myself, and I. I can't believe this happened to me. And that person is thinking about their problem and me. Why did this happen to me? Why did I lose this job? Why did I lose this child? Why did this person reject me? Why did I lose that? Why was I robbed of finances? And a person gets depressed when they're focused on their problem, on their loss. So finally, what's the very practical cure to depression in your emotions? Is in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your depression, to step out of yourself and help somebody else in greater need than you. When you do that, what are you doing? You're shifting the focus from yourself and your problem to somebody else. And when you shift the focus, you stop concentrating on yourself. It becomes your problem becomes smaller and smaller when you step out of yourself to help somebody else. Is that making sense here tonight? It's shifting the focus. Personally, in my own life, in 2006... some of you have heard this before. I was going through depression in my life as a result of certain different things that happened in my life. I won't get into details. But I was depressed. And I've been there. If you're depressed tonight, I've been there. Where you don't want to get up in the morning. You don't want to be around other people. You don't want to eat. You don't want to go outside. And maybe you're there tonight. But I was there back in 2006. Depressed, down in my emotions. And I just sensed in my spirit. I knew of two families that were really hurting financially. And I just sensed on the inside, Jonathan, step out of yourself and bless these two families financially. And so I took a big step of faith. For me, it was a big step of faith to let go of this certain amount of finances. I did it, and I tell you, for the last quarter, at the very end of 2006, I was soaring like an eagle with the Almighty God. I shifted the focus off myself to helping somebody else in greater need than me. Is that good news? You might be wondering tonight, thinking tonight, Jonathan, well, you know, I'm here at the shelter. I don't have any money to my name. I'm dependent on this shelter for my meals and for my bed. You know, I'm so poor here in the shelter. But guess what, friend? There's somebody out there tonight that is in greater need than yourself. There is somebody out there tonight that is going to sleep under a bridge. You've got a roof over your head here tonight. You've got a bed to sleep in. There's somebody tonight sleeping under a bridge. There is somebody out there in downtown Tulsa tonight that has gone a couple of days without food. You get a square meal here every day. Is that good?
Amen.
So remember this. Always remember this when you want to get depressed and you want to focus on your problem. There is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. You can step out of yourself and help that person. God has given you a mouth. He's given you a tongue. Guess what? You can spend some time with a lonely person on the streets of downtown Tulsa, just talking with them, telling them that God loves them. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. God loves you and I believe in you. There's simple things that you can do to step out of yourself to help somebody else. Maybe you got 25 bucks to your name and somebody hasn't eaten for days. Buy them a meal at Quick Trip. Is that making sense here tonight?
Amen.
All right, one more thing I'm going to read to you here. Practical steps on overcoming depression. You can be cured in 14 days to patients afflicted with melancholy if you follow this prescription. Try to think every day how you can please someone. That's by Alfred Adler. Think every day of how you can please somebody else. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, guess what? You don't have to be stuck in depression all of your life, for the rest of your life. You might be hurting in your emotions here tonight, but guess what? When your hurt meets the healer, God Almighty, miracles begin to happen. Your miracle is on the threshold. God has got something great in store for you. He never changes. The God who did miracles 2,000 years ago and thousands of years ago in the Old Testament is the same God who wants to do it for you here tonight. Could you say amen to that?
Amen.
Is that good news? But it takes what? It takes trust in God, knowing that God has got your life, your situation, your storm under control. He is not going to let you drown. There is something good that is going to happen in your life. What the enemy may have meant for evil, God is going to turn it around for good. Do you believe that tonight?
Hallelujah.
Trust in God, obedience to God, and finally stepping out of yourself to help somebody in greater need than you. Amen?
Amen.